Hey there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
What a privilege, what an opportunity just to share a few moments with you. Just about some of the things that I've been working through this week off the back of what Greg shared so brilliantly with us. If you weren't with us, we're currently in the series of Making Room. And Greg was sharing about this thought, that the thought of if only God would, or if only God could do this, this and talking into this aspect. Sometimes we can approach God and see it as if only God would meet us here, if only, but actually this revelation and this realization that of shifting away from this external perspective of God, but actually, if we profess ourselves to be Christian, then we walk with God within us, and He's given us the ability, He's given us to speak faith, to speak power into every situation, every circumstance, and it's not kind of, oh, if only God would do this. It's like, actually, my prayer is, I believe God will do this. And I'm going to step into that. I'm going to walk into that. I just want to just build off that and pull a little bit more into this thought of making room. And, you know, it's January. Put your hand up. Who's set some New Year's resolutions? Anybody set any New Year's resolutions? Anybody kept with them? If, like me, did you set some goals or objectives, but you didn't class them as New Year's resolutions, just because, like, you know, I've set some goals for this year, or set some goals for my life, but I'm not classing them in the category as New Year's resolutions, because that means I've got to be less committed to making sure they happen, right? Anybody in that book with me? Yeah. There we go. A few more hands. And, you know, and I was thinking about, like, what is it that's setting these New Year's resolutions, and whether it's a health goal or a financial goal or a relationship goal. But actually, the decision to put a change in your life at the start of the year, it involves some discipline. And actually, what I want to share on it's actually maybe to create some stability within our lives. Maybe we've set a health goal because we want some stability in our health in 2024. Maybe it's something financial, that we want to have a little bit more financial stability this year, and not go from end of the month to the end of the month and be a little bit better that way. Maybe it's relationally. Maybe we just need some maybe we need to build off something relationally with one another, or how we interact with certain people, and it's stability in our relationships. And so I just want to share a little bit more about what that looks like, of creating stability. How do we become more stable? You know, I had it this morning, which was funny, which I wrote this through the week and with this idea, and I looked at my phone this morning and looked on social media. And do you know how, I don't know if you've ever been reminded, so whether you look through social media and it pings up like, this is what you were doing 10 years ago or 5 years ago, or what you were saying, or you've gone through an old diary or an old notebook and you read back and you think, like, what the heck was I talking about? And just to prove that point, I looked at my phone this morning and, like, social media came up and it was like a post from 2009. And it was like, I'd put on, like, not going to work today because of the ice. I was like, who cares? Who actually cares? Why? What in 2009, Liam, was I thinking that this is something that is worthy to be shared to the world? Like, what the heck was I talking about? I am, but, like, because I've just realised it's just a, like, we should turn that function off, because it is just a daily reminder of how cringy we have been, or how we are. And, you know, I just look back on, like, things that I've written and I think, oh, Matt, what was going on in my head at that time that thinks this was something even worth making note of or sharing with all the world to read? Who cares if it's icing, I'm not going to work. Because I don't know, so I don't think anybody else did either. But I felt that was something to be shared, obviously. But, you know, hopefully I've grown a little bit out of that mindset to speak, of speaking before I'm thinking. And I'm sure that I will look back on 38-year-old Liam and cringe at some of the things that I do or come out with. But that's it, right? It's... Yeah, we grow, and if we're not growing, what are we doing? If we're not learning and progressing ourselves. But yeah, maybe that's the thing. Don't look back, look forward. Yeah, I don't know. That's another message. But yeah, I've just kind of relived that trauma of this morning of thinking, oh man, like, what was I thinking? But you know, today's culture is that, isn't it? It's information instantly as it happens 24 hours. And it just creates this sense of, well, obviously everybody else is sharing every single thing that happens in their life. So then I need to feed into that. And obviously everybody wants to know my opinion on this or what I'm thinking or where I am currently. And it's we live in this society of, like, we see news as it happens. We hear people's opinions as they're forming. And it's a great tool that we have in today, but it's also a really damaging tool if that is just what forms our world, if that is just what forms our thinking. And we're just living, embracing that culture of, like, yes, I want to know all your opinion and let that form everything that I'm doing, how I respond to that, how I interact with that. But, you know, as Christians, there should be something within us that creates something that is steadfast and followers of Jesus. And, you know, just as Holly, we were singing and Holly kind of shared, kind of summarised my preach very nicely, probably in a lot better way than I am. But, you know, like, through the fire, through the trials, like, I'll remain steadfast. I'll remain steadfast. And what is it that is within us as Christians that creates that stability? That in a world where everybody's fighting to hear, like, for the voice to be heard and feel this importance of my voice must be add to the rest of this noise, like, what is the stability that we offer as Christians in this world that is just a whirlwind of emotions and feelings and noise and opinions? What creates some stability within us? You know, Christ should create stability. And that is the greatest thing, one of the greatest things that we have to offer other people. You know, we can go from one thing to the next, the latest leaning or the latest thing we've heard. We see it so much in our Christian walk as well, don't we? We can walk from certain trend or the certain, like, important voice of the world, of like a Christian voice or an influence, and that can be what we can hold on to rather than the stability of Christ crucified, rather than the stability of what is it that we stand on? What is the stability that we are holding to in this whirlwind and these shifting sands of different opinion and these current trends and all these things that are going on? What remains steadfast? You know, I believe God has called us to know sound doctrine. So to know, like, beliefs and instruction of our faith, of good theology, our understanding of the nature of God and how biblical scripture is interpreted. It says this in James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. I'd like to say this is my prayer every morning because I wake up and think, I need wisdom, but I'm foolish enough to even forget that. So, but who lacks wisdom? James is saying that if you ask God, he will be faithful to give it to you. But this is the thing, when we're double-minded, when we profess one thing and say and pray, asking God, I need wisdom in this, give me wisdom. But then we add something of our worldly perspective to it as well. You know, I heard something this week of somebody said, oh, I'm a Christian, but I'm expanding the boundaries of what that looks like and exploring what other things that could add to and enhance that. I don't even know what that means. And if that's where they're at, then great. But I don't know what that means, because it's saying I'm standing and I'm putting the boundaries around one thing, but then I'm also exploring something differently that is creating this double-mindedness of I'm standing here, but really I'm living here. And it's we had all these other things on. I'm relying on other spiritual truth to add to who I am. It creates this double-mindedness within us. And maybe it's not even something spiritual. Maybe it's God has called us to live one way, but we're so focused on another. Is we profess one thing, but I'm worrying about this, or I'm holding on to this, or I want to achieve this in my life. It's what's the double-mindedness that we add on to and add these worldly things and this culture of constant information and constant trend and constant shifting ideas. When we grapple and hold on to that as well as holding on to biblical truth, it creates, it's God say, like, choose one. Because instability, double-mindedness creates instability. We reveal our instability in our careless speech, our shifting opinions, our flitting from one thing to the next, where we allow ourselves to be led by our emotions. What makes us susceptible to this? You know, as Christians, and I think as maybe charismatic Pentecostal Christians, we connect partly through emotion, don't we? Like this morning, there's an element of emotion within us as we prayed, as we worshiped together, and that is great. It is incredible, because it creates this vulnerability. It creates a connection. But when that is, when emotion is mixed up in this instability and double-mindedness, if we're not careful, what it can create is this inflated view of ourselves, that I we're led then by our emotion. And in one sense, emotion is great, because it bonds us together, it binds us together. In the other sense, it is terrible, because we make some really stupid decisions when we're emotional. Even as Christians, when we're we make some really stupid, silly decisions with our life when we're led by emotion rather than truth. We believe our opinions are crucial. This inflated view of ourselves, that, you know, we live in an age where we believe 2024 is the pinnacle of all knowledge, that every other civilization and decades they've not been quite as educated as we, or maybe they've not understood things as well as we have in 2024. And that's the risk, is that by having this inflated view, we're easily swayed. We have an inflated view of ourselves and forget there's thousands of years of biblical truth, of church that has stood foundation to foundation, that has gone through trial, through tribulation, through oppression, through persecution, but it still remains. It still remains, because it has been built on certain things that have sustained it through trial, through hardship. And this shift away from, I'm not going to live with one foot in one camp and another foot in another, but it's been stood on stability. You know, we look to the interpretation of the Word of God, not through even what other Christians have to say, or other voices or other secular voices, though some of it may be truth, it's like, what is our guide? What is the guide that speaks life and words into Liam? And I can yes and amen so many other great things and take that as long as it aligns with the truth that speaks, that I've allowed to speak into my life. So let's, I want to kind of jump around 1 Corinthians a little bit. And it's, we start off from 1 Corinthians 1, verse 1. And it's basically Paul saying who we are or who he is. It's Paul called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. You know, we need to remember who we're called by. God has called you. He's established you for a purpose. You know, stability rests in the confidence of who and whose we are. If we're constantly trying to sift between one another and shift ourselves around those that we're around in the moment, that creates instability within us. Paul starts by the letter of 1 Corinthians by defining who he is. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18, it says, what's our vocabulary? For the message of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Amen. You know, our message is Christ crucified. And the wisdom of the world is foolish to the message of the cross. Our message is that we live a life submitted everything to the cross. Everything submitted to the cross. Knowing and understanding what Jesus has done for us. And that through his resurrection we step into new life. We step into new life. And when the voice of the world starts chirping in our ear and think, oh, I need to be doing this, or I should be doing that, or it's foolishness, because it is completely insignificant to the power of the cross. And when I find myself worrying about, oh, what am I going to do about this, or not being able to sleep because I'm thinking about this, or I'm like trying to figure this out in my mind, it's like, give it to the cross. I live a life of Christ crucified over everything. Yeah. Over everything. Yeah. You know, our message is the truth of the Bible. The hero is Christ crucified. And truth, this truth is weighty. It's powerful. It's truth that in the shifting sands of belief and the shifting of ideas is that of the cross that lasts. And this is kind of the verse that I really want us to pull on. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 10 to 13. It says this: by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. If anyone builds this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. You know, who thought I was preaching on Three Little Pigs this morning? It dawned on me. It was like, is that the extent of my message this morning? I'm preaching on, I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down, is what I'm preaching on. You know, but I think this is a point. In Corinth, the art of speaking was looked up to. It was entertainment that they had. They had speaking engagements that people would, it was seen as an art form. It was looked up to. But Paul is saying, I didn't come to you to say something eloquently. I didn't come to perform something. But I came to tell you that our faith may rest in the power of God. You know, Paul is telling us that the foundations of people's faith will determine their stability, and that dependent on what we use to build, when struggles and trials come, the quality of our building materials will be evident. Paul's saying, what you, and this is the context of the church in Corinth, and I'll pull it out a little bit more, but the church in Corinth was, they were divided. They were saying, well, who do we build our faith on? Who do we, like, do we go off you, Paul? And there were some people who were saying, well, we'll build our, what we understand and what we believe off what you're saying, Paul. And then there was another group of saying, oh, we believe and follow Apollos, and we'll build what we want, what we'll build off the teachings of those. And Paul's saying, like, none. Like, not Paul or Apollos, but like Christ crucified is the foundation. And it's, our faith isn't built off a voice of an individual. It is built on the truth and power of Christ crucified. And that is found within this. That needs to feed us, that needs to speak to us above all other voices. The truth of what this actually says to us. And Paul's saying that, you know, if you build your house with straw, I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow you out. But he's saying, like, it will be evident in the trials, in the storms, when it's really difficult. And let's be honest, the majority of life, on a percentage basis, I'd say it's more difficult than easy. I have more questions than answers. Let's be honest. But in that, where is my foundation? When there are more questions than answers, if what I've built in my life and the structure of my belief system is built on hay and straw, when the difficult questions come, when there's real struggles in the fire, like, what is burnt up and what's left? What is burnt up and what's left? If our faith is built off, did we have a good breakfast this morning? Or were our favourite worship songs sung? Or I didn't quite like that one. Or when our favourite person speaks, oh, it's Liam speaking today. Let's give it a miss. But like, what are the unsteady foundations? And let's be honest, like, I grew up in like a traditional church, and like that are steeped around tradition and and liturgy and all these things. And I think sometimes we step into maybe more of a charismatic church and think that we don't have tradition or liturgy or all these things that hold us to something. And it's like, what is the fluff that I embrace that I just need to like let go of? And it's not to say that these are bad things. Like, tradition creates great things, but like, what am I holding on to that is something that is so insignificant to the depth of what my faith should be? And what is the tradition, the fluff that we hold on to that is like it's just hay and straw that like I could sometimes do without? And I need to come back to these basics that build faith within me. These things that build a strong foundation that when a difficult time comes, I'm not felt shaking, but I know like I don't have the answers. It feels a really difficult thing to work through, but like I know my hope is in Christ alone. My foundation is in Christ alone. And I know there is a way paved for me through this. So what's our response to this, you know? Who or what speaks to and feeds your life? And maybe that's the question you can ask yourself this morning. What is speaking and feeding into your life? You know, like a few of us have set this challenge of reading the New Testament throughout this month, January, and when I first did it, it feels like a huge thing to get through and achieve. But like I think I've done this for 3 or 4 years now, and sometimes it's been the New Testament, sometimes it's been the whole Bible, but It's, and I'm not saying that just to say, oh, look at me, I've read all this. Woo-hoo. But it's like I want a foundation from the start of the year that I'm rooted in, and like I know that it's just, even if I can't remember some of the intricacies of what I've read, I know that it's there. I know there's something that in a moment, in a time when God's wanting to speak through me, there's something that I've inputted that I was like, actually, God's drawing me to this scripture or this word that I've prepared, that I've laid as a foundation. You know, how do we guard and shepherd the voices that speak into your life? The Bible talks a lot about shepherding and shepherds and sheep and lambs. And in the biblical context, where the Bible's talking about a shepherd protecting the flock or the sheep, like it talks about a gate. And in our sense, we see as maybe like making sure there's gates and it's a physical metal gate. But when Paul or the Bible's talking about a shepherd being the gate, the shepherd in biblical times hemmed the herd of whatever they are. I don't know. Is it a herd of sheep? I don't know. I grew up in Manchester. Flock. We have buildings and factories. Not necessarily sheep. A flock of sheep. But in my mind, you lock them in and then go away. But the Bible's talking about the shepherd was the gate. The shepherd was laid down in the entrance to protect the flock from being attacked by wolves or to stop the flock from escaping. It wasn't something as... It wasn't another thing that we just shut, or the shepherd just shut and kind of went to his warm little hut. The shepherd was the gate that slept in the entranceway to the rest of the sheep to protect them from all these external things. And you know, what are you shepherding in your life? What are the voices and the influences that you're allowing into that really precious place of your relationship with God and what God's trying to build in your life? What are all these external factors that you've just left an open gate to let things walk in? What are we shepherding in our hearts and minds? You know, I was saying, like, we can profess and say we're Christian, but I need to believe it in my mind. I need to believe it in my heart. If I say it through my mouth, if I say it, it's got to come home here as well. I've got to guard it dearly. I've got to guard it dearly. You know, it talks about that we'll be stable as gold. We can be stable in the constant shifting. We provide something steady. What ideas have been given root to develop that actually sits beyond, that should sit beyond the fold, that sits outside of our biblical worldview? You know, this is the message, that Jesus is the cornerstone, the foundation that we build on, and through the ages has stood the test of time, that has positively shaped the world that we live in. You know, just as I'm coming to a close, we build with precious materials that last into the future. These are the things that we've built on. The church has been built off of worship, of prayer, of scripture, of the lifting of our eyes off of ourselves, of looking to community. That's the things that's built the church for 2,000 years. And it might have looked a little bit different from this. They might not have had as many lights or electric guitars, but the concept of prayer, worship, scripture, the lifting of eyes off of ourselves and being in community has lasted from age to age. And we don't write that off because we feel that we should be doing something differently now. Or the world says it should look a little bit like this. We stand on generation upon generation. So, you know, in 2024, just as I'm closing, let's have an honest evaluation of what we're building our life on. What's built to last in us? In the chaos and the instability of the world we live in, God's calling us to be a stable people, found in his word, to love our church, our community, our city. And we build upon the foundation of Christ with precious materials. That what we build will not be burnt in the fire of disappointment, of frustration, but will be found to have built with precious materials. Gold, silver, stone. Father God, we lift our eyes to you this morning. We just stand in awe of who you are in our life. Everything that you do for us, everything that you've done. And God, help us to refocus our hearts, our minds, our lives on you this morning. God, where we've strayed, maybe that we step back into the truth of who you are in our life. We step back into the purpose that you've found for us, that you've written for us. We'll be reminded that we are yours. We are yours this morning. And that I don't want to be found in the way of the greatest thing that has happened in humanity for my life. I don't want to be the blocker for that. So God, we give ourselves to you this morning. Shape us, form us, that we'll be built on a sturdy foundation to bring stability, to bring light, to bring life to everyone around us, and that the hope that we carry within us, the hope of the world, people, we'd be drawn to that, the stability of who you are will be an anchor for so many people. I pray that for each and every person. Each and every person. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hey, we're going to close now, fixing our eyes upon Jesus, and Holly's going to lead us into a time of worship as we close.
Come on, let's stand and sing.